Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Before the break, we revisited our tour of the Harley-Davidson Museum's drag racing exhibit.
When that interview first aired in July, I got a phone call from someone who wondered how we could do an interview about drag racing culture here without once mentioning the name Harlan Herridges.
The call was from Herridges' widow, Sue, who pointed out his major role in establishing the Great Lakes Dragaway, the drag race track in Union Grove, which is just south of Milwaukee.
The truth was that Harlan's name had come up in the interview but had been left out in the final edit. But his story was interesting enough that we invited Sue and Harlan's brother, Russell, to come by the studio to share it. Welcome to both of you.
It's a pleasure being here.
Thank you. Thank you for asking us.
I guess I want to go back as far as we can. When did Harlan first start driving fast?
In the early 50s. I think he was working with Sheriff Michael Wilkie and another officer from Cudahy. I believe his name was Dale Schleter or Carl Schleter. And I don't know how it came about, but the issue of racing on the streets, the kids were getting into trouble. And so Harlan got together with Sheriff Michael Wilkie and The first result of that was running at Timmerman. Russ, is that right?
That was the first drag races held in the state of Wisconsin.
And Timmerman, this is Timmerman Airport we're talking about.
Yes, it's now Curtis Wright, I believe, the current name. Yes.
But they would hold the races out on the runway.
There was only a single occurrence that happened at Harlan. Generally, he started the Artists Rod and Custom Club with the intent to get safe racing, you know. And safety was our goal at that time. We worked with Ed Marlow, Milwaukee County Sheriff, and his Captain Fred Schleter of the Cudahy Police Department.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Mike Wilkie of the Milwaukee Police Youth Aid Bureau. And other names that I don't really remember, but
but presumably the police were concerned that racing was going on illegally on the streets at that time.
And our goal was to eliminate that. Yeah, and our goal was to get a drag strip. Drag racing was very popular in California already, and there was one drag strip at I think it was Half Day, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
I've never been down there, but we wanted to see what we could do, and we worked with Milwaukee mayor and a lot of people, and they were understanding to what we were trying to do. We would run safety checks with the police department. They would take the cars, pull them off the side of the road, and our club members used to go through and check backup lights, stop lights, directionals, tire tread. Just basic things like that, and most of the people didn't object, but there were always some that, hey, I got to be someplace, you know. But we developed a good rapport with the police department, and they helped us, and it was getting close to where, I don't know who the powers that be, but they were going to announce that we could have some land on the east side of Mitchell Field to build a drag strip. And Union Grove, I don't know if they heard about it just in time or what, but they were working to build their own drag strip for monetary benefit, you know. And they announced they were going to build in Union Grove, and that eliminated all the help from the Milwaukee taxes, I guess I have to say. And we welcomed that. We helped them build the drag strip. I remember going out on Saturday mornings and digging ditches and laying drainage pipes and things like that just to make sure that the land was clear and the drag strip opened, and we just felt great about it.
And this was still in the 1950s?
Oh, yes. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. And, of course, the drag strip needed to have an announcing tower, and Harlan and his brother Dave and Russ built the announcing tower. I don't know where the wood came from, but knowing Harlan, he might have scrounged it up. The first time that I was out there, I was just absolutely amazed when I saw that.
Amazed at?
The tower and the strip. But I wanted to share with you that the idea of the drag strip came from Harlan. Isn't that right, Russell?
Yeah, he was basically the maneuver of so many things like that.
Did you also drive?
No, I never drove. I loved to build it. Harlan always drove the cars that we built, and I just loved so much building them. And we had our car club. We had a car show. The first one was at the Lakeshore parking lot, and then we moved the next year down to the Chapman parking lot downtown, and the following 2 years we actually had rented space at the Milwaukee Arena, and we entered our car, the one that Harlan and Dave and I built, and it was judged best engineering car at the show, which made me very proud.
Well, our car club was called Artist Rod and Custom Club.
And I wanted to ask about that because people would be surprised to see the word artists in that title.
The biggest decision was, well, it shouldn't be artists, it should be artisans.
There seems like people might not necessarily think of it always in these terms, but there is an art to this, isn't there? An art to building these and art to driving them?
Oh, yes. Our Harlan's dragster was the Lucky Ladybug, and I think she was a 1940 Ford, was she?
A 37 Willys.
A 37 Willys with a Cadillac engine.
Right. Yeah. The research I have here says it was a 1937 Willys and a 1953 Cadillac engine.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Supercharged.
Right. And some of that work was going on in our yard, and some of it was going on in the artist's building. And of course, then there was Highway City Service that Harlan was operating. He owned and operated that.
That's where the club was actually started.
Yeah,
that's
where City Service. This is what's now called Citgo.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You were helping build these cars. You were painting at the time. Did you ever get to drive one of these, or there's probably not a jump seat in them?
I actually did. I drove a 36 Ford at the Franksville Quarter of a Mile racetrack. And she was a white Ford, and she was decorated with green. And it was an exciting race, and I came in second. A woman named Lucky Miller, or something like that, took first place, and she was a truck driver.
Was that the end of your racing career?
Actually, yes, it was. I did that because people kept asking me, Sue, are you going to race? No, you know, I just didn't think that this is something that I was going to do. But then I decided, yes, I'm going to. And then when I was in the Ford, I thought, what am I doing? But I managed it okay. I wasn't at all afraid.
Russ, did you feel like you were missing out on anything by not driving?
No, I never really had the urge to drive. I owned a 1955 Ford at that time that I modified the differential ratio, and after studying the way the carburetor worked, I found out that I could put a nut and a bolt in a certain place, and all four barrels of the carburetor would open automatically, you know, with the gas pedal instead of waiting for the vacuum to kick in. And I ran that out at the drag strip on days that we weren't announcing and things like that. And it was an automatic transmission, and I proved that people with an automatic transmission could be as fast as cars with a stick shift. I enjoyed it, that portion of it. But the top speed I ran was about 88 miles an hour and 16.04 seconds, whereas now the new cars today, right out of the factory, would run close to 10 seconds.
When did Harlan stop racing the lucky ladybug and concentrate solely on being the announcer?
Well, we were building as we were working at the drag strip that just about every Sunday, Harlan, my wife Claudette, and I would go out there. Claudette was the recorder. I was the timer, and Harlan was the announcer. So everybody that ran, everything was recorded and everything, and we kept that up for at least 3 years. I even remember when Claudette being pregnant up there sitting in the tower. You know.
Did the dragaway feel like a second home?
No, I wouldn't say that. It was something I felt very proud of what I was doing. I was on the technical inspection committee, checking the cars in, trying to make sure that they were safe and everything before they were even allowed to run. And I was just a stickler for details. And somebody would say, "Well, I never read that in the rules." I says, "You want me to bring the book out?" But it's awfully fun, and that kept up for several years until, unfortunately, one man was killed out there on the car that I had okayed in. It was a bad accident, but that sort of turned me off. Mm-hmm.
I can imagine. I mean, do you feel like the people that drove there, or was it always in the back of their mind that something like that could happen?
Well, any kind of racing, you know, whether you take the stock cars on the oval or whatever you want to do, the potential is there.
On Sundays when we had family events, people would say, "Well, where is Harlan?" "Well, he's announcing." "Well, where is Uncle Lucky?" "Well, he's announcing," you know. So, and he liked that very much, and he was good. After a while then, when he recovered and everything, he went back to work. Then we got involved in community theater. So, and again, he founded the Franklin Players in about 57, and that became the Suburban Players.
Community theater and drag racing.
That's right. The drag racing was given up, and theater took place.
Did he go back to just watch drag racing after that?
No.
Never?
Mm-mm. Not to my knowledge. Russell, did he?
No, I don't think so. Mm-mm. I've never paid to go in as a spectator.
No.
For Harlan, after founding, essentially getting this going and announcing and driving for a time, stopped going and never went back.
Mm-hmm. After he became ill.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a long time ago still, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. I think, I can't think of the years, maybe 60. That he discontinued, would that be about right?
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes here.
Yeah.
We remained active with the club through the early 60s.
Wow. I'm curious, if you drive today down Interstate 94 between here and the Illinois border, you pass a sign that says Great Lakes Dragaway. What goes through your mind when you see that sign?
Mm-hmm. I'm pleased with it. I'm pleased to see that it's still going. When I drive down out in the country on Highway 45 and Highway 20 because I'm on an adventure somewhere, I'm glad. I'm glad that happened because that drag strip made a lot of people happy. And as Ed Marlowe said, that it was a safety builder.
Mm-hmm. Every time I see that sign, the first thing that goes through my mind, and in fact, it happened just a couple weeks ago, I remember being out there digging in the mud, laying tiles so that we could drain the water so people could park so they could attend. That was my first involvement in Great Lakes, and it just grew from there. I mean, I really loved it. I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed building the cars. Never had the finances to get to anything big or anything, mm-hmm. but yep. We had fun.
Well, they're wonderful stories, and Sue and Russell, thank you both so much for spending some time with us. I'm so glad you got in touch.
Thank you. I was pleased. I was delighted.
Appreciate being here.
Sue Herridges is the widow and Russell Herridges the brother of the late Harlan Herridges. All of them were instrumental in the founding of the Great Lakes Dragaway.